2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, the cost of living means that getting out for dinner is more difficult than ever. So making the most of what we have at home is going to be a big part of summer 2025. And in his new series, Cook Like a Chef, Mark Moriarty is helping us all to do just that. Mark, you're very welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. Love the studio. Oh, new studio.
Stop it. The absolute neck of you. I think everybody on air has kind of forgotten that we've actually moved studios. We're down in Studio 6 at the minute, which is... interesting, to
not,
say the
not
least.
Not as comforting as last time I was in with you last year.
No, but that just means you'll have to come back in again because we will be back in the other studios next month. Now, let's talk about your brand new series, right? What's the basic idea behind each episode in the series?
So we actually realised when I've been doing the PR for this that the title probably doesn't sell the show perfectly. So Cook Like a Chef, it's not about cooking restaurant style dishes.
Okay.
It's about taking the learnings from running a restaurant.
Okay.
So in a restaurant, the easiest part is cooking the food. That's really easy. It's all the other stuff that makes it really, really difficult. Particularly cost of ingredients, making sure we don't waste anything.
Yeah.
Managing our ingredients that we order in from a restaurant perspective or what you buy in the supermarket from the home. So what I try to do is do a show that takes all those learnings and applies it to your home.
Okay.
To try to save you a bit of money. To make your ingredients go further and to give you a few new ideas with ingredients you already have. So the magic of all my recipes is I base them off the statistics of what people are actually buying in the supermarket.
Okay.
So I have them from last year. So this show's all about beef mince, chicken breasts, sausages, rashers, potatoes, pastas, nothing too out there.
Okay.
And what we do is we give, or my producer gave me 7 ingredients every week and I have to come up with 3 dishes from the 7 ingredients.
See, I like this.
2 core kind of good recipes, and then the third one is just making stuff up with whatever's left in the fridge, which is what I do at home midweek and what we would do in the restaurant for if you
specials.
Ever see specials in the restaurant.
I knew it, the specials.
Yeah, it is whatever was left over, we're going to make something out of it.
You see, I love this because people might be in the midst of like, you know, food prepping and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes when you get a food prep plan, it's not actually feasible because it's like a different meal for every single day, which is not handy at all. But instead of batch cooking and eating bolognese for the entire week, which probably in theory will be the easiest thing to do, but will be incredibly boring, you're talking about looking at that bolognese and getting 3 different recipes out of it.
Yeah, or opening your fridge and not sort of having to batch cook to cover your week, but being able to go to the fridge every night. And as the ingredients get less and less day by day, still being able to cook with them. So to give an example, tomorrow night, episode 3, I brought my notes in as well.
Oh, look at this.
I have, what did I give myself? I gave myself pork belly, a fennel bulb, an orange, a tin of beans, parsley, and pistachio nuts. Now, we do always have our larder ingredients, and I'm not cheating with that. So larder ingredients are salt, pepper, mustard, all-purpose seasoning, olive oil.
Larder
pasta,
sounds like something
potatoes.
That's in a posh place like Downton Abbey or
yeah, no, the larder is basically
lines.
The brown ingredients that we all have that I give myself. And from a dairy perspective, I have milk, cream, and actually yogurt, which is a huge seller in Ireland. So out of that, what I've done tomorrow night, you'll see, is I've done a slow-cooked pork belly and I'll show you how to get the really crispy skin. And we make a really simple salad out of the fennel, some orange segments, and a dressing with olive oil and mustard. It's kind of Italian style. The second recipe I make a little olive oil cake. So olive oil cake is absolutely delicious. It's really Italian. So what you basically do is I had whole almonds in my larder, so I basically blend them up in a blender to turn them into ground almonds, and then you add some eggs, some olive oil, some sugar, my chopped up pistachio nuts, and the zest of an orange and a lemon, and you get this beautiful cake.
Pistachio nuts are really giving Dubai chocolate at the minute, aren't they?
Well, that's why they're in there. I'm always trying to keep up with the kids.
You're up with all the trends, are you?
And then because I can't make a fancy frosting on top, I had yogurt in the larder. So I basically hang the yogurt to thicken it up. I add some icing sugar through it and you get this cheats sort of icing for the top of the cake.
Also, probably a little bit better for you than regular icing, I would assume.
Much better.
Yeah.
Much more delicious, and you can sort of support Irish ingredients. And then the last one is a ribollita soup. And that's basically throwing loads of stuff in a pot that's left over that tastes really, really good. And what you do is it's a kind of Tuscan style soup.
Okay.
And I have stale bread, which I rip up in my hands and I make really thick croutons in the oven out of with loads of salt on them. And you pour the bean, tomato, parsley sort of casserole on top of the croutons. and they soak, and you get this really sort of thick bread, tomato, bean stew that's absolutely delicious when it's seasoned, really comforting.
What was that word? Rigolita?
Ribolita soup. Ribolita. And I actually worked it out for the show. I think the per portion for the soup, it works out at about €1.05 per portion. And it is a very substantial dinner.
Oh, we see, that's all you care about, is that it's a substantial, tasty dinner. And if it's costing you half nothing, it's better again.
And it's like what they talk about, those college meals that usually look terrible, but adding a sort of chef's twist to that, you would almost believe that you could pay for it in a restaurant.
Okay.
When you see it.
To be fair, I'd probably pay for anything you put on in a restaurant, if I'm being completely honest. I'm like, give me that special. It sounds fantastic. One of the things that is great about the series is that you are realistic about what people are going to have to hand. And that's what you're talking about with like those midweek meals. It's looking into your fridge and seeing, okay, you've got these small ingredients left. You can make an olive oil cake if you have all the stuff to hand. But was that such an important factor for you to make sure that this was kind of the bread and butter of it?
So as my business is kind of building every year, I worked out, I do 305-ish recipes a year, brand new, across all my work.
305?
Yeah, 305 recipes a year. And the key to every recipe is when people either read it or look at it or read it in a cookbook is they have to be ingredients that they're already using, or that if they don't use, they feel like they can go to the supermarket and buy.
See, this is one of my
fancy shop.
Yeah, this is one of my big things as well. If I can't get it in my local supermarket, like if I have to go to a specialized shop for it, I'm not going to make it.
It's not happening for me. If I see a fancy ingredient and I have to go into some market, I'm like, no, you've lost me. And then generally has to take about, or people have to perceive that it's going to take them about 20 to 30 minutes to put together the meal. Yeah. They're the two pillars. And if you can nail those for every recipe, and every recipe in this show does that, then I think you grab people's attention. And the show is not about, you're not going to replicate everything, but you want people to look at it tomorrow night and just go, oh, I didn't know that. I'm going to try that now.
Yeah,
during
I'm going to use this one instead. Sauces are a huge factor for me. Like I cannot cope with a meal that is bland, and I don't care what it is. I'm like, I need extra sauce on this all the time. One of the sauces that you use in the first episode is soy sauce. Which can really make or break a dish, because if you overuse it even ever so slightly, it's really salty and your entire thing is destroyed. But how do you not overdo it with strong flavours?
Good point. I do get a lot of emails when I use soy sauce, because I use quite a lot of soy sauce, that people's meals were ruined. So the difference between good and great cooking is seasoning.
Okay.
And I go back to the larder. I always have key ingredients in my larder, like soy sauce, little stock pots. I don't mind to say I love them. Mustard, good olive oil, salt, a little bit of lemon juice. They're the sort of seasoning things that you take from the chef world. And what they do is they basically cheat flavor into your meal. So you make a bolognese. You have 15 minutes to make dinner tonight. You make the bolognese and it's grand. If you add a tablespoon of soy sauce to it, a dash of Tabasco, a little bit of black pepper, and maybe half of those stock pots to your recipe that you're already doing, mix it all around for a minute and then taste it. With no extra hassle, no extra time and very little money, you will turn your bolognese from a 5 out of 10 to a 9 out of 10.
From bland to bellissima.
And that's where in the restaurant, now it takes a little bit longer, we spend days developing flavour, but if I heat up a sauce, they're doing an event at the weekend, so we would heat up the sauce for every table. We call it a la minute. Comes up. Loads of base flavour in there, but before it goes on the plate, we will add a dash of vinegar, a grind of fresh black pepper, a touch of smoked salt, and mix it, and then it goes on the plate. And it just lifts it to the next level. And they're the sort of little details that take no extra effort that will make your food way better.
Minimal things that are going to have us going, this is so tasty.
Minimal fuss, maximum flavour.
Love this. Week one of the show was mince. Last week was fish. What is on the menu tomorrow night?
So that's what I said. So that's the pork belly, it's a pork belly slow cooked with crispy skin.
Okay, amazing.
With polenta roast potatoes.
So that's what we're looking forward to tomorrow.
That's tomorrow, yeah. And then we've got the olive oil pistachio cake and the ribollita soup. And I'm looking forward to seeing the reaction to the ribollita soup, because I can barely say it, but it's delicious.
I'm really looking forward to it. I also like it. These are all given incredibly fancy names, but you were making it very attainable for everybody at home.
That's how chefs make it. We just put fancy names on things
and
charge people for it.
You're going to do yourself out of business, although we love a night out. You do have some pretty good equipment, in fairness. You've got a steamer. You've got a special mandolin slicer. If you had to pick one of... like a very extra piece of equipment for a dessert island, what would it be?
Ooh, equipment wise, do you know what? People be surprised at this. My favourite piece of equipment in the kitchen is I have a massive wooden chopping board.
Okay.
A block chopping board. And it's huge. And that for me is the one piece of kit I can't live without, because It's a centrepiece of the kitchen. It's really easy to keep clean. You can do all your prep on it. You'd be surprised.
Not what I thought you were going to say.
People have glass chopping boards and these tiny little flimsy chopping boards, and it just makes your life so much harder. If I had a big chopping board and a really sharp, simple chef's knife, you can make anything from that.
Okay, that's I've got the chopping board. I'll do that much. My knife set, though, I actually think you would cry if you looked at it. It is so blunt.
Well, that's so dangerous. You only need one knife, and people go, "Oh, sharp knives are dangerous." It's the blunt ones that get you.
Because they slip.
Because you're forcing it.
Yeah.
That's when they slip. And I've seen in 15 years in professional kitchens.
No, a couple of times. I actually can't.
And it's bad. But I swear, if you have a sharp knife, it's way safer for prepping at home.
Okay, amazing. That, I swear to God, this is on my list of things to do today, is just sort out my knife.
I'll show you the A&E photos after.
No, I don't. Actually, I can't. I'm queasy even thinking about it. I will throw up. Like, I'm not able for this. That's not what we're selling right now.
No.
The recipes are all on the website, and there's even a really handy QR code that takes you straight from your TV screen to the recipes, which, incredibly handy altogether. Mm. Do you think that is incredibly important for people to actually, you know, take what you're saying and apply it to the kitchen as opposed to just sitting down? Because some people just enjoy watching cookery shows, myself included.
Yeah, no, a lot of people will sit down and watch the shows and they find it just a relaxing thing in
it's
the
therapeutic,
evening.
Yeah.
Which is great. And then there's another cohort that will watch it and will copy exactly what you do on TV and will replicate it. And then there's also the sort of people in the middle who maybe just it's on. And they'll sit down and they might not ever make the dishes from scratch, but I might say one thing or do one thing or add a bit of salt to something or do a hack where you put the garlic through a grater to save yourself time, where people go, "Oh, I didn't know that. I'm going to do that.
I'm going to take that from it."
You're doing from all that. And I love when the show goes out. I love when I meet people on the street and you get emails and you just get feedback on Instagram or whatever, to see people actually making the stuff. Because you can forget sometimes in the studio making these shows that people are actually taking inspiration from another, going to copy it and maybe have a nice family meal where the food is delicious and they have a good time because what they've seen you do on TV.
Well, this is the thing, you know, we can all consume TV shows, but we all bond over food. Mm. You know, we're all trying to keep it interesting all the time. I just love the idea of the QR code because I'm incredibly lazy, but I like that I'll be able to zoom in and get it. And then if it's on my phone, I'm more inclined to go, might do that because it's sitting there looking at me. And
as long as you buy the cookbooks,
we don't want to go too technical
and put me out of a job.
And I'll order your specials as well all the time when he's lagging. Mark, as always, thank you so much for coming back into us. If you'd like to hang around and make a bit of lunch, by all means, we wouldn't say no. I'm telling
bring
you that
Percy way. Pigs.
Mark Moriarty's Cook Like a Chef program is on RT1 at 8 p.m. tomorrow night, and we'll be back right after these.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.